we all will stand in judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything.
Greetings, brothers and sisters of the tribes of Jacob, who are the true Anglo-Saxon Israelites of the Bible. This is part 3 of Trust. This study is covering all the verses that show what trust is, what trust means, and how it's used in Scripture. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Trust is found in the Word Studies menu. If you have listened to part 1 and 2, we can see that trust is used to describe one's trustworthiness or confidence in something or someone. And the main use of trust is taking refuge in or seeking refuge in. Many people seek refuge in falsehood, and sometimes they don't even know that they are relying on a counterfeit belief. The many so-called Christian denominations are all perversions of the truth. It matters who and what we believe in, and even in ignorance, we will be held accountable for what we place our confidence in. Blessed are the ones that seek refuge in Yahweh, for we trust in Yeshua and rely on Him alone. In part 2, we left off in Ezekiel. Here in part 3, we begin with Susanna, which is found in the Apocrypha. The short book of Susanna is the introduction to the young man Daniel. Susanna chapter 1 is Daniel chapter 13. Susanna's beauty attracts two elders. When Susanna said no to their desire to lay with her, they declared that she laid with a young man. So the assembly believed them because they were elders, and they condemned her to death. Susanna 1, verse 35. And she weeping looked up toward the sky, for her heart trusted in Yahweh. The story goes on to introduce young Daniel, who, filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, stood up and defended her. Verse 48. So he, standing in the midst of them, said, "Are you such fools, you sons of Israel, that without examination or knowledge of the truth you have condemned a daughter of Israel?" So he cross-examined the wicked elders, and the truth was revealed. Verse 60. With that, all the assembly cried out with a loud voice, and praised Elohim, who saved them that trust in him. And they arose against the two elders, for Daniel had convicted them of false witness by their own mouth. And according to the law of Moshe, they did unto them in such sort as they maliciously intended to do to their neighbor, and they put them to death. Thus the innocent blood was saved the same day. Daniel 14:40. Upon the seventh day, King Darius went to mourn for Daniel, and when he came to the den, he looked in, and behold, Daniel was sitting. Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My Elohim has sent his messenger, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then cried the king with a loud voice, saying, Great is Yahweh Elohim of Daniel, and there is none other beside you. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed, or trusted, in his Elohim. And the king drew him out, and cast those that were the cause of his destruction into the den, and they were devoured in a moment before his face. Daniel 3:26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High Elohim, come forth, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the satraps, and the prefects, and the governors, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his messenger and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own Elohim. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other Elohim that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Hosea 2:16. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that you shall call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali, or Baal. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. We must recognize that we are the children of Elohim, our race, and that our relationship to him as a race is the same relationship that a wife should have to a husband. Ishi means my husband, and not Baali, which is merely my lord. Lord is a title, and it references Baal, which is Satan. When you use the title Lord, you are calling on Satan. God's name is Yahweh. Verse 18, And in that day I will make a covenant for them, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the sky, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow, and the sword, and the battle out of the land, and I will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth you unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth you unto me in righteousness, and in justice, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth you unto me in faithfulness, or trustworthiness, and you shall know Yahweh. Yahweh took our ancestors by the hand out of Egypt, gave them instructions and the law at Sinai, where we were married to him. After the honeymoon in the Promised Land, our forefathers repeatedly cheated on Yahweh through idolatry and race mixing. He repeatedly warned them through his prophets. Because of willful disobedience, he divorced them beginning around 745 BC and cast them off into punishment. This began with the Assyrian invasion and deportation. Later, the Babylonians took the remaining of those in Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Most of Israel did not return after these captivities. Only a remnant of Judah returned. Christ's death was the reconciliation of all the tribes under the better covenant, which dropped the priesthood and its sacrificial rituals, and it was the gospel message of reconciliation to the lost and castaway Israelites that forgot who they were. The punishment of divorce lasted 2,520 years, which is the seven times punishment. And that brings us to 1776, which, as prophesied, was the regathering place of all 12 tribes here in America. By Yahweh's law of divorce and marriage, he had to die so we may be remarried to him in the form of Yeshua. So we are basically in a dating period, which is spoken of in Hosea as a 2,000-year grace period. Time is almost up for our kinsman redeemer and bridegroom to return. So when he does, will you be trusting in falsehood and vain things? Or will you be like the five wise virgins who made ready their lamps? Hosea 10:9. O Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. Gibeah is used as an example of the sin of Israel. At Hosea 9:9, Yahweh said, "They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins." The mention of the days of Gibeah is a reference to the civil war which was caused when a woman, a concubine of a Levite traveler, was raped and murdered by men of Belial in Gibeah, which was in the land of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin defended these men of Belial against those who would avenge the woman. The result was that at first the other tribes of Israel took heavy losses, but ultimately most of Benjamin was destroyed. Verse 10. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows, meaning their iniquities, which is a reference to the two golden calves. If the appropriate reading is two furrows, then the reference is to the Assyrian and coming Babylonian captivities. But the NAS has this last clause from a marginal reading, when they are bound for their double guilt. That agrees with the Septuagint, which has, when they are chastened for their two sins, where the word is actually injustices in the Greek. What the two injustices may be is arguable. In the context, in the first verse of the chapter, Israel is criticized for two things, where it says of Israel that, according to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. The primary injustice, which leads to all other sin, is the acceptance of the false gods of the other nations. Verse 10. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loves to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, or to pull the plow. Judah shall plow, or control the plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap according to kindnesses. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because you did trust in your way, in the multitude of your mighty men. They trusted in themselves and not in Elohim. They created their own moral climate rather than live by the word of their Elohim. Is this not what is happening today? Our people trust in the doctrines taught on Sun God Day and the synagogues of Judeo-abominanity. They trust in the Jewish-controlled media and education system. They trust in corrupt Jewish-controlled politicians. They trust in the food and pharmaceutical industry, which is owned and controlled by Jews. Where is the trust in Yahweh today? It's found only in his true remnant. Joel 3:12. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. Jehoshaphat means decision, judgment. This is that gathering to battle of all of the world's other peoples against the children of Israel, as we have seen in Ezekiel 38:1-6. Yahweh is prophesying against Gog and Magog and all of the associated peoples. He brings them here so that he may destroy them and demonstrate his might and the efficacy of his will to the children of Israel. It can be demonstrated that while this list of people at one time represented white nations, today they are all mixed with non-whites, and that now it represents the Arab, Negro, Asian, and Mestizo populations of the world. Verse 13, put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The changes in sun and the moon represent the passing of the government and its bureaucracy. Verse 16, Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the skies and the land shall shake. But Yahweh will be the hope of, or the refuge of danger for, his people, and the strength, or a stronghold, for the children of Israel. Captivity inevitable. Amos 6:1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named or distinguished chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Shemer owned the mountain of Samaria. He was a Canaanite chief. It was purchased from him. When Israel split from Judah, they put their capital in that hill and did worship there, but mixed their paganism with Yahweh worship, which is unacceptable. This is why the Samaritans were despised in Yeshua's time, because they were pagan and had mixed blood. Samaria was the capital of the northern house of Israel. Because they did not follow nor trust in Yahweh, the Assyrians were sent to punish and take them away. Micah 7:5. Trust you not in a friend. Put you not confidence or reliance in a guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lieth in your bosom. In the economic, political, and social climate of the nation, which engages in the seeking of wealth in merchandise and trade, for which Israel was explicitly chastised in the prophecies of Amos, Hosea, and Micah, leads to international intercourse with the other nations and races. A man cannot even trust his own wife. The Septuagint says, trust not in friends, and confide not in guides. Beware of your wife, so as not to commit anything to her. Verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's hated enemies are the men of his own house. In apostasy, the children of Israel were naturally divided between those who love Elohim and those who love the world and materialism. Now we see nearly every modern and marginally Christian family divided over the pressing social, political, and economic issues of the day. Verse 7, therefore I will look unto Yahweh, I will wait for, or trust in, the Elohim of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. The purpose of Nahum's entire prophecy is to foretell the vengeance which Yahweh will take against the Assyrians for their destruction of Israel and Judah. Nahum 1:7. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust or seek refuge in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his hated enemies. Nahum is referring to the children of Israel who are obedient to their Elohim, indicating that they would be looked after by him. He is a stronghold in a day of trouble, and therefore keeping his ways one may abide his anger and judgment. On the other hand, destruction is certain to those of his enemies. Habakkuk 2:18. Of what use shall a carved image be? For its maker has carved it, a molded image and teacher of falsehood. For the maker trusts what he has made, to make dumb idols. The destruction of nations and our people then were because of the same abominations going on today, idolatry and race mixing, trusting and taking refuge in idols, money, and other races, instead of trusting and taking refuge in Yahweh. The future of Yerushalayim. Zephaniah 3:1. Woe to her, Jerusalem, that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in Yahweh, she drew not near to her Elohim. The revival of Josiah was the last chance of many for the people of Jerusalem to hearken to Yahweh. The Babylonians finished off what the Assyrians started. Only a remnant of the house of Judah returned to Jerusalem. Verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of you an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust, or confide, or hope, in the name of Yahweh. There were afflicted and poor people among the ruling priesthood of Edomite Jews at the time of Christ. These Israelites of the remnant were familiar with the prophecies, and they responded when Christ came. So we have seen in the Old Testament that trust is mainly used for reliance and refuge. They either relied on idols and men, or put their trust and sought refuge in Yahweh. In the New Testament, or the renewed or better covenant, there are only about two Greek words used for trust. G1679, elpidzo, which is a verb and means to rely on, expect, wait for, or have confidence in, and G3982, pitho, a verb, and means rely on, inward certainty, or to have confidence. Yahweh's chosen servant, Matthew 12:15. But when Yeshua knew it, that the Jew Pharisees were going about to kill him for healing on the Shabbat day, he withdrew himself from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be filled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show right rulings to the nations of his people. He shall not quarrel, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he has sent forth judgment into victory. And in his name shall the nations trust, or be relying on. Christ did not want attention, Yet he also wanted the people to have the opportunity to understand that he was indeed the Messiah promised by Elohim. G1679 is elpizo in the Greek. It means to wait for salvation with full confidence or trust. Israelites that knew their heritage and the prophecies were aware that Messiah would come. Even as they had not yet seen him, they expected him. They relied on the promises made by Yahweh. They trusted him. Matthew 27:41. Likewise also, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted, or relied on, or had confidence in Elohim. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the son of Elohim. G3982 is pitho, which means to rely on, by inward certainty, to have confidence in. A wealthy man asked Yeshua, what shall he do to inherit eternal life? Yeshua asked him if he knew the commandments. He said he does, and observed them from his youth. Yeshua tells him he must give all he has to the poor, and to follow him. But he loved his possessions more, and walked away. Mark 10:23. And Yeshua looked round about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Yeshua answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust, or have confidence, in riches to enter the kingdom of Elohim? If we are wealthy, but there are good brethren known to us who are needy, if we do not assist them, then how do we have a valid claim in our profession of faith, of the belief in us? James shows that a profession of faith, or the belief, is nothing without a practice of faith, or that belief. Does your brother have a necessity? Don't merely wish him well, but act to assist his need, and you shall be rewarded for that work. That is a true practice of the belief. Luke 11:21. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, or had confidence in, and divideth his spoils. Here, Christ is referring to the kingdom of heaven overtaking Satan, the collective adversary, him and his Jewish kids and followers. Therefore, if the strong man represents Satan, then Satan includes all of those who are opposed to Christ here. And Satan is in this case those Canaanite, Edomite Jews who had come to rule over Judea by this time and who had rejected him. They had taken over the Israelite Levitical priesthood, just like they have taken over America and every other country and turned them and us into corporations. It doesn't matter what kind of defense we have. Without Yahweh, that defense is useless, and the stronger man will win. We lost our country when we abandoned Yahweh for Jewish Jesus and false doctrine. Jesus is not a Sheeny Christ. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful, or trustworthy, in that which is least, is faithful, or trustworthy, also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been trustworthy in the unrighteous riches, who will commit to your trust or entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Elohim and riches. In this parable of the unjust steward, the steward here is one who manages a household. Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted, or those having confidence or relying, in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to the sky, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified, or declared right, rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee boasted that he was not a sinner, and proclaimed his own righteousness through his fulfillment of tithes and his fasting, which are in that manner no better than rituals, things which men perform merely to display their own justification, as if they could save themselves through that display. This also goes for those who, by their own declaration, claim that they are saved. Salvation means preservation, which means preservation in this life, if you follow his laws and ways. Scripture does not teach once saved, always saved. Two disciples were walking to a village called Emmaus, talking of the things which had happened, and Yeshua drew near. Luke 24:16. But their eyes were restrained, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you only a stranger that dwells near Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before Elohim and all the people, and how the Jewish false chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted, or were expecting, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Notice it doesn't say, redeemed the whole world, or the church. It never does. Christ is speaking to the Jewish Pharisees who were mad that he healed on the Shabbat day, and because he said also that Elohim was his father. John 5:42. But I know you, that you have not the love of Elohim in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe an opinion being received from each other, and seek not the opinion that comes from Elohim only? The Edomite Jews followed after the letter of the law, and had a form of godliness. They sought the praise of men. Look how the Jews give awards to each other for praise. The Emmys, the Golden Globes, Nobel Peace Prize, the Pulitzer, It's Jews giving Jews awards for being Jews. Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust, or in whom you have set your expectation or relied on. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? John chapter 8 reinforces that the Edomite Jews do not have the truth in them. They claim they follow the law, but are only hypocrites, and are known to create loopholes to break those laws. Read their Talmud. They also lacked mercy, which is why they will not receive any mercy. In Romans chapter 3, the circumcision is the house of Judah, which included Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, who lived in Judea. These are the Israelite remnant that returned, with the law and their heritage, to Judea after the Babylonian captivity. The uncircumcision is the house of Israel, the other tribes of Israel, Dan, Simeon, Zebulun, Naphtali, etc., who lived all over the Greco-Roman world outside of Judea. These were Israelites that either left Egypt before the Exodus experience, left after the Assyrian captivity, or left after the Babylonian captivity. Hence, they forgot their heritage. That's why they are called the Lost Tribes. Lost means exiled or put away in punishment, divorced. Both houses were put away in punishment for disobedience, idolatry, and race mixing. But the remnant of Judah returned to preserve the law and bring in the Messiah. Romans 3:1. What advantage, then, has the Judean, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them, the circumcision, were committed or entrusted with the oracles of Yahweh Elohim. This was because the Judahites, the circumcision, were the ones that kept the laws and their heritage. Verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith, or trustworthiness, of Elohim without effect? Just because many of the Israelite Judeans did not believe, did not nullify the trustworthiness of Yahweh's promises. Romans 15:12. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, standing as a banner to the people. Unto him the nations shall set their expectation, or reliance, or trust. Of course, the root of Jesse would be Yeshua. In him the nations rely on. They expect him. They trust him. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity it is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed or entrusted unto me. Dispensation in the Greek is oikonomia, which means a management of a family. That would be the management of the family of Yahweh. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without expense, that I abuse not my authority in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Spiritual gain. Paul had no choice but to take on this honor of management of the family once he was given his purpose on the road to Damascus. Once he saw the truth, there was no looking back. 1 Corinthians 15:13. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Messiah has not been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, then our proclaiming is empty, and your belief also empty. And we are also found false witnesses of Elohim, because we have witnessed of Elohim that he raised up Messiah, whom he did not raise up. And if then, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then neither Messiah has been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, your belief is to no purpose, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. If in this life only we have hope, or expectation, reliance, or trust in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, or merciable. In other words, if we have no hope, confidence, or trust in Yeshua Messiah, or the promises of Elohim, then we will not receive mercy. G 1652 is eleinos, which means to be pitied. The Greek text reads merciable. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, kinsmen, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. These are references to Acts 19:23, where they were hurting the silversmith idol business, and 1 Corinthians 15:32, being in danger. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust, or rely, or have confidence in ourselves, but in Elohim, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust, or wait for deliverance, that he will yet deliver us. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift, or deliverance, or gratuity, bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Master, Yeshua. And in this confidence, or relying on this, I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, meaning a second trip to Corinth, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. We must pray for and support our brethren who are bringing the word to us. 2 Corinthians 3:2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, being known and being read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living Elohim, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust, or confidence, have we through Christ to Godward. The Greek is much more clear for verse 4. Now confidence such as this we have throughout the anointed, meaning the group, Israelites, regarding Yahweh. Not that we are competent of ourselves to think or reckon any matter as of from ourselves, but our competence is of Elohim, who also has made us competent servants of the renewed covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter of the law judges. Death is the sentence of disobedience. Mercy, according to sincerity of repentance, is what Yahweh requires. The law is there to correct and keep one straight. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Wherefore we labor, or make it our aim, that, whether present or residing at home or sojourning, we may be accepted of Him. We must strive to walk in His ways always and everywhere. It's the effort He is looking at. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. But I thought the law was done away with, and all we have to do is just believe, and we won't be judged because we accepted him in our hearts and are saved. No. Verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the awe of the Master, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto Yahweh, and I trust, or expect, also are made known in your consciences. The awe of Yahweh is also expected to be known by them as well, the assembly at Corinth, and men. Paul defends his ministry. If you are of the called, your actions will show. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. I will reread both of these in the Greek, which makes a whole lot more sense. Verse 1. Now I myself, Paul, exhort you by the meekness and leniency of the anointed, meaning the group, Israelites, who concerning stature am humble among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I want, not being present, that you would be bold with the confidence with which I reckon you should be daring towards certain others who are reckoning us as walking in accordance with the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not serve in accordance after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through Elohim to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, which actually should be the anointed, meaning the group, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul is not a pacifist. Evil deeds must be punished. Verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust, or is confident, in himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that, as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. The King James translators were not able to discern when the Greek word Christos referred to Christ, Jesus, the Anointed, or the Anointed group, meaning the children of Israel. Christos means anointed, called out. Isaac was the anointed seed of Abraham. Isaac was placed on the altar. Abraham willingly gave his son to Yahweh. No other race ever did this. Yahweh made promises to Abraham's seed, which we are, and for this dedication and to this seed only. How dare we deny who we are and offer it to those outside of our race? Verse 7 is not a question. Verse 7, you must look at things according to appearance. If one is confident in himself to be of the anointed, he must again reckon this by himself, that just as he is of the anointed, even so are we. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith or the belief. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Yeshua Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, or unapproved, or spurious. But I trust, or have confidence, that ye shall know that we are not reprobates, unapproved, or rejected. Paul is referring to Edomites, other races, and mixed peoples as reprobates. The belief is not for them. Also, those of our own race that are willful sinners and reject Yahweh, the way, and the belief are considered unapproved and reprobate. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Again, another mistake by the King James. Verse 3 in the Greek. Blessed be Yahweh, even the Father of our Master Yeshua, the Anointed, who has blessed us among the anointed, meaning the group, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Christ does not always refer to the Messiah. It sometimes refers to the anointed people, or group, which are Israelites. In is N, G 1722 in the Greek, and can also mean among. Heavenly is Epiranios, which is G 2032, and means of heavenly origin. We are of heavenly origin, born from above. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be set apart and without blame before him in love, that we should be to the praise of his honor, who first trusted in Christ. Those who were aware and had a part in it, meaning walking with Christ, the apostles. The Greek reveals a little more. Verse 12, for which we are to be in praise of his honor, who before had expectation in the Christ. They expected him because of their heritage, because of the prophecies, and because of the word of Elohim. Verse 13. Christ Yeshua, in whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the good message of deliverance, in which also, having understood, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest, or deposit, of our inheritance in regard to the releasing of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Earnest is the down payment of the Spirit. The purchased possession is the seed of Abraham, not anybody and everybody, not the Jews, and not the church. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this favor given, that I should preach among the dispersed nations of Israel the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what the fellowship, or the fulfilling the apostolic office, or management of the household, of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid or concealed by Elohim, who created all things by Yeshua Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of Elohim. Well, the church is not the dispenser of wisdom. An institutionalized clerical hierarchy is not the subject here. The original Greek clarifies, as usual. Verse 10. In order that the exceedingly intricate wisdom of Yahweh would now become known to the realms and to the authorities in heavenly places through the assembly, meaning the people, Israelites. If the churches are doing a good thing, and there are more now than ever, why is the world in the worst shape ever? Because our churches are not filled with Christians learning about Christianity. They are Antichrist, stiff-necked Jew lovers believing in false teachings. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Yeshua Messiah, our Master, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, or reliance, by the faith of him, or through the belief in him.
In the valley of the shadow, where my plans turn to dust, when I'm walking through the unknown, in the waiting I will trust. When the sky falls, when the flood comes, let the rushing waters rise. When my soul is worn and weary, and I've got no place to hide, I know you won't let me go. You surround me, my comfort and my song. Your promise is my refuge, 'cause I know your love is strong. You have raised me from the ashes, set my feet on solid ground. I know you won't let me go. Fortress for my soul. Inside of my lungs, you give me strength when I am weak. You are the one who lifts me up. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the breath inside of my lungs.